So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh.
So, take a look.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Welcome everyone to Review Away, and this week Wei Ting joining me on the phone as he was in Winnipeg for most of this week, and we were unable to record it this week. But Wei, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm talking to you from currently the tallest freestanding structure in the world, the CN Tower, where I am here for my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. So,
why did they invite you to their anniversary?
No, I'm holding this whole thing. I invited them.
Oh, wow. Is it a big party, or is it just the three of you?
No, it's just the three of us. I mean, normally they don't even celebrate things like this, so I decided, you know, it should be a pretty important date, so I took them out.
Wow, and you're taking time out to chat about some shitty WWF VHS from 10 years ago. Thank you very much, Wei. Okay, well, let's get into it, because we do have quite a bit of feedback I want to get to at the end of this, if we have time. But the video is Triple H in China. It's our time. It was a 1999 WWF home video release. And, Wei, I guess let's just get into it and review this video. It starts off with a Triple H music video. And I believe you recall this theme music. It was Hunter's theme prior to Motorhead, Wei. And I actually printed out the lyrics here, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just wanted to read through some of these for you. 1, 2. Is this on? Ha. Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Dumb Shit. Yo, tell me what time it is now. You don't know what trouble is. It's our time. Yo, here comes trouble. Not going to listen to anybody. Tell me who and what to be. Not trying to be like everybody. Tired of playing make-believe. Because I am the blind and the blind lead the blind. My time. Our time. My time. It's time. My time. Our time. My time. We're not looking back, and we've had enough. You don't know what trouble is. Games, politics, sissy sons. One time. Break your mind. Break your mind. Break your mind. Money, fools, stupid rules. I've had enough of this.
Wow.
That really, poetry. Really, the lyrics just jump out and grab you.
That's poetry, man.
It really,
almost like a very psychedelic.
Oh, very. Yeah.
Yeah, way better than Motorhead theme.
So we start off the video with that this incredibly long video with that.
It's really long.
It's the whole fucking song to start off this review.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Triple H beating Mick Foley on August the 24th of 1999 to win the title, of which Jerry Lawler yells, "Finally!" Triple H wins the world title. Finally, Wei.
Finally. Well, yes. It's been a long time coming for him, as you'll get to find out.
From there, we cut into a limo where Triple H and China begin their work-shoot interview throughout this video, where they start describing that people in the office don't understand what we have to do. I'd love for any of the office to come travel with us for a month. And they're talking about how difficult it is, life on the road. And Hunter and China... horrible fashion for 1999, I had to think, Wei. There were, China was wearing like this one-piece purple spandex outfit, and Hunter was wearing these tight blue jean shorts that went above his knees.
Yeah, this is typical wrestling wrestler wear.
With the
I don't
fanny
know
pack.
If he had a fanny pack on. Did he have a fanny pack on?
I believe he did. He did with his.
See, I didn't really understand this at the time of watching this because this is a work shoot. Right. I thought they were shooting for real because you didn't know if they were actually a couple or not until the middle of it. They were kind of talking as if they were a couple, but it was a little confusing for me.
Hunter describes that whenever he gets into town, he tries to find a Gold's Gym because he loves working out. It's his passion. He says some fat asses can't imagine going to the gym. Well, I can't imagine not going to the gym. He mentions that... he was discovered by Ted Arcidi, who once had a 700-pound bench press, which I bet was bullshit. And from there, he got trained by Killer Kowalski. And then they cut the clips of Hunter from 1995, and I imagine that in 1995, he didn't have that passion for bodybuilding because he was significantly smaller, Wei.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He really was, as you could see.
We go to the curtain call from May of 96, and I gotta say, Wei, they've aired this footage of the curtain call countless times, and this was the best footage they have. It was like it was off some fan's like web phone in 1996 when those didn't even exist, and it's Hunter, Sean, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall all hugging in the ring after a main event, and this is what resulted in a Hall and Nash's final WWF match where they left for WCW. Michaels was the WWF champion at the time, so the only guy that could get punished was Triple H, who became a jobber for a year and was.
And from that very real moment, we cut to Triple H's interview with JR, where Triple H cusses and JR tells him, "Please not to cuss."
Yeah, he says. He says
Triple H is so angry about being punished for this supposedly a real event that he was forced to cuss at JR.
His exact words were, "You want me to shoot? I'm gonna fucking shoot." This was a segment that had Vince Russo written all over it.
See, like you say, this is what year would that have been?
1999.
Okay, so they were sort of like in the midst of the Attitude Era, were trying to work all the reality into their storyline.
Then we go to China and how she got hooked up with the company, and basically she was one of those crazy stalkers. She said she drove 3.5 hours to a show, went up to one of the agents who basically told her to fuck off. So then she drove another hour or so to a hotel that the wrestlers were staying at to give her publicity photos. Just imagine this Amazon woman just hunting down people to try and get a job with a company.
Yeah. Well, like how Triple H explained this was China's a woman who didn't wait for other people to find her. She went and got what she wanted.
Then we go to a montage of China. And all I could hear was the piercing sound of Michael Cole. It's China! It's China! It's China! I hated Michael Cole back here, Wei.
Yeah, well, he's not any better now, really.
Then it went to a montage of Triple H giving guys unprotected chair shots.
Yeah.
And from there, they discuss Sean Waltman coming back to the WWF after he was fired by WCW. Mm-hmm. And he cut a promo, and this was the night after WrestleMania 14, Wei, and it was when DX had basically, Shawn Michaels had left at this point, he dropped the title, and DX consisted of Triple H and China. They introduced Sean Waltman, who did a promo, and he stated that his mind was on his money, and his money was on his mind.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, listen, his whole persona back then,
was Tupac.
Yeah, Six-Pac, I mean, he's supposed to be a Jewish kid who loves rap music. I don't know. I don't get it.
And then he said he's here to rip ass on the WWF.
Can I just say, for those of for those people in our audience who are familiar with the other podcast that I'm sometimes on, but you're always on, the Wingmen podcast, Justin Terry, our friend, dressed up as X-Pac for Halloween, and while watching this video, I couldn't help but think, you know, Justin did a great job of looking like X-Pac. He looked just like X-Pac in this video because, what, he had the DX shirt, the bandana, and then the black wig. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it was a fantastic Halloween costume strung together in about 25 minutes. So very, very impressive there. Then China starts describing Triple H and that he's always been held back for being a nice guy. And I felt so terrible for Triple H that... you know, the guy was such a nice guy.
Was that a work
guy,
or was that a shoot?
I would say work.
Really? Okay.
I'm sure China believed it. And then they discuss an incident from Boston at WrestleMania 14 where they were in the ring at a public workout in Boston prior to that year's WrestleMania, and a fan threw a battery and hit Shawn Michaels in the head. And Shawn said, "Fuck this," left the ring, and Triple H decided to cut a promo making fun of Boston, and he was applauded as such a big team player here by China for picking up a microphone and making fun of Boston.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He was such a team player that he ended up cheating on her for the sake of the WWE.
Yeah, because he couldn't be a nice guy anymore. We then go to the Nation parody sketch, which I don't know if you remember or not, Wei. That was where DX dressed up as members of the Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm.
And that
blackface.
Yeah, incredibly racial overtones during this.
No, they were pushing it to the edge. This was extreme. This was cutting edge television.
Yeah, we're racist. We're DX, and they were the baby faces.
Yes.
From there, They had
black people are back.
They had these very, very long montages of matches. And the first one was Rock and Triple H from SummerSlam 1998. It was a ladder match. And these were just so long, way. They were like 6-minute video packages of a match. So I fast forwarded through all of these.
So did I. But you know what? This video, I think we're so used to the other type of the WWE documentaries that come right now that
these were really lame at the time. Like their production was just light years behind where they're at right now.
Yeah, I will say the montages were edited very well for what they were. I mean, of course, now we don't need to bother with these. They just put the actual matches on, which obviously is much preferred. But for their time, I think the editing was decent, especially compared to some of the things we've seen before on this podcast.
Then Triple H, he was working with a bad knee during this match, and he eventually had to take time off after this match. And he said that the knee injury made him realize he needs to take care of his own goals. And then he comes back in January of 1999, and we go to another match montage. It's The Rock versus Triple H for the WWF title in an I Quit match, January of 99. And I will note, I thought Michael Cole was tremendous on commentary in this match because there was a super hot crowd because the WWF was very, very hot at the time. And I thought Michael Cole was very good here. The finish came when Kane threatened to chokeslam China, and Hunter decided to quit to save China. And then Hunter, the good guy, the guy that always gets held back for being a nice guy, turned his back, and that bitch hitter hit him with a low blow and turned heel on Hunter.
And then Triple H, we cut to a shoot interview with Triple H saying...
This was the best.
How Triple H talks about how his friends turn their backs on him, so he has to turn his back on his friends sometimes, too.
He said it was a difficult time for China, and I during this time.
What the fuck? I didn't understand that at all.
But then he said, because they had to reconcile about 2 months later, tremendous Vince Russo booking.
That's weird.
That he said, you can't hold a grudge in this business. So China...
He low-blowed me right on live television.
And the best part was that Hunter's trying to describe this all as legit about this troubled time they had. And
so weird.
It was done in the limo where it's a tight shot on Hunter, and you can hear China just giggling to the left of Hunter. Like, laughing at this bullshit.
What do you think happened in the filming of this, that they decided to take this road? They must have, Triple H must have given, whoever interviewed him at the time, must have given him, like, a half-worked interview midway through, and then they decided to just edit everything they had together to sort of make a narrative out of it. This is what it felt like, watching this.
China then describes how there's no woman on TV like me, and right there within about 10 seconds, I recalled Asia, the woman in WCW impersonating her. I thought of Nicole Bass, who was in ECW years prior, and thought China was lying here. Then we go to an angle where Kane went to shoot a fireball into Hunter. But Hunter moved, and the fireball hit China in the head.
Yeah.
And then
there's this other incident where Triple H dressed up as Gold Dust, and then... shot Kane in the head with a fireball. You say it.
Did you hear what Hunter yelled at him?
Oh, yeah, I wrote it down, too.
Burn.
Let's say it together.
Burn, bitch, burn. We did not really time that well.
Yeah,
but that was what he yelled at Kane to set up WrestleMania 15. And what did we get? China turned on Kane. Now, this was stupid. You're trying to tell me that in order for Hunter... to get a win at WrestleMania against a guy who's not even the WWF champion, that they concocted this plan for China to get blown up in the face, possibly lose her vision, all for a disqualification win over Kane at WrestleMania.
That makes no sense at all.
Made no sense. And then Michael Cole, after the match, Hunter and China reunite, and Cole yells, "Hunter and China reunited in the city of brotherly love."
Oh, that's
awesome.
Hilarious.
That was awesome. Then they go to a Triple H and China relationship advice segment, which was so out of place here. And Hunter says to always put the toilet seat down, and when the garbage is almost full, it's full. So just throw the garbage out.
Oh, God. This was really the point where... to me, they actually confirmed that they were a real couple, because everything before that, I couldn't tell whether it was storyline or whether they were just friends. in this scene, you really they really cemented the fact that we live together and we're in love and we share the same toilet.
Hunter mentions that Steve Austin was a big baby face, and he was a big baby face, and the WWE wasn't going to push a baby face feud, so I had to take it into my own hands. And he joins the corporation at WrestleMania to help Shane McMahon defeat X-Pac. Now,
because why, John? Because this is a friendless business.
It's a friendless business, and he's got to get to the top.
Yeah.
Then we go to, God, it must have been the 5,000th match between Triple H and The Rock. This one was at Fully Loaded 1999, and Hunter wins to get a title shot. Then we show China and the inroads she's made as a woman, and we show her defeating Val Venus to get a spot in the King of the Ring tournament that year. And
yeah,
it all built up.
I felt so bad for Val Venus.
Val Venus looked retarded in this. He had to do a job to a pedigree.
Yeah.
And then it's all for nothing as China gets beat in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament after a low blow, but Road Dogg is wearing a cup, and then the Road Dogg beats China. So really,
well,
what was the point?
Hold on, John. What would you have had happen? Would you have had her win the King of the Ring?
What was the point of putting her in the tournament? Was anyone that enamored? If it was that big a draw to have a woman in the King of the Ring, why would you take her out in the first round? If it meant nothing, why was she even in there to begin with?
Well, how far, if you were the booker, how far would you have taken her?
I wouldn't have put her in the tournament.
Okay. Well, since they did, I mean, maybe they had so much backlash from this Val Venus win that they wanted to take her out as soon as possible.
We then finish off with heading into SummerSlam, where it was scheduled to be Triple H against Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. Hunter's big chance to win the WWF title, and they recapped what had to have been the most overbooked Raw in the history of the show. This is how it happens, okay? Triple H loses his spot at SummerSlam in a match to China. Then Mick Foley returns, and China loses her spot to Mick Foley. So then Hunter comes out later, and he wants to fight Mick Foley to get his original title shot back. And Mick Foley beats Hunter. And then Linda McMahon makes it a three-way between Mick Foley, Triple H, and Steve Austin for SummerSlam, where Austin did not want to put over Triple H at this pay-per-view, so they made it a three-way for Mick Foley to win the title and then lose it the next night on Raw to Triple H.
Yeah, completely lost me. I completely forgot.
The moral of the story is that Triple H wins the WWF title. And then Triple H talks about how, well, it's taken me my whole career to win the WWF title, and now I've got to keep it. And his first title reign lasted all of 3 weeks before he lost it to Vince McMahon. Great.
Yeah, so I remember at the time that Hunter won. I personally, even my young self, didn't really see him as a legitimate champion. Didn't seem to me like somebody who was worthy of the title at the time. It took his second win, I think. Who did he win it the second time against? Who did he win the title from?
He won the second title. I think it was like some six-pack challenge gimmick.
Okay. Anyway, that's really when I first started seeing Triple H as a top level guy. So,
I didn't really see it until he did the Mick Foley feud in 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
They did one match at the Royal Rumble that year,
which was excellent,
and then they did a Hell in a Cell match. And it was after that that I thought he really became a top-level talent.
That's right.
But nonetheless, that's the end of Triple H and China Tower Time. Are there any more notes that you had, Wei, that you wanted to add in here?
I honestly really had nothing left because this was a very different type of review. It was not even really a documentary. It was like a long highlight reel of Triple H's rise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I give it a 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10, okay. I give it a maybe a 6.
Yep.
6 out of 10. Because, listen, for what it is, I think it was pretty decently done. The montages were a bit too long, but I guess that's what they wanted. Honestly, this is very foreign to me, this type of video.
All right. You're going to have the pick for what we review next week, but first I want to get into the feedback we got this past week, and there's a bunch here, so we'll try and get to as much of it as we can right here, and I'll condense where necessary.
Okay.
From Scott McCullough, hey guys, love the Ready to Rumble review, although I felt bad for suggesting it after hearing the pain in your voices. I was thinking the rating scale should almost now be referred to as the Ready to Rumble to Worlds Collide scale. Anyways, good work as always, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Patrick Mayhew. Hey, guys, as with most of your below-par, e.g. shit, shows that you guys have covered, I've actually seen the epic that is Triple H in China, It's Our Time. I picked it up at a video store who were selling off all their old VHS tapes a few years ago. I got it for free with a copy of Fall Brawl 98 with an epically shit main event. Haven't watched it in a year or two, but there are a few things I remember which I found funny, like Triple H being put over as a team player and China saying she would like to someday get into movies. Also, isn't it amazing how Triple H, despite getting older and more beaten down, still managed to make his physique bigger? Amazing. Also, I think one that you should do is a TNA DVD in kayfabe would be amazing for just about any of their guys. And he says his Survivor Series suggestion is the 95 show with Diesel and Bret Hart. Yes, China did want to get into movies during this epic video.
Oh, my God. John, let me just get off change the subject for a second. Or get back to China. I actually looked up China after doing this review just because I was curious of how she looked right now. She looks a mess. I don't know what happened. I know she was on that rehab show for a bit, but like I think she got some more plastic surgery done or something.
Oh, definitely. She looks horrible now. I mean,
it was just weird. There's also this like TMZ video on YouTube where she gets rejected from a club 2 times in one night.
It's really amazing how far she's fallen off in 10 years. She's just really, a spectacle now.
Yeah, I know. Kind of sad, actually.
Elio has this email. Hey, guys, just downloaded the latest podcast with your review of Ready to Rumble. What an absolute bullshit movie that was. I remember when it first came out, I went to the theater with money in hand, ready to go and see the movie. Thank God good judgment kicked in. At the last minute, I put money back in the pocket, turned around and walked out. And after listening to your review of this movie, I now know I made a wise decision. I did, however, catch it on television one night. How I made it through that entire movie is beyond me. So thank you for confirming that I made the right decision by walking out. Movie theater or on television, ugh, painful to watch either way. This movie should have never been made, and whoever had the bright idea of coming up with this storyline doesn't know the first thing about wrestling or wrestling fans. Keep up the good work, guys. I've been listening since the very first edition of Review Away. Looking forward to the next edition.
Thank you. Great. That was very well said. Exactly.
We have a few international ones here. Artists from Latvia. The most recent review of the movie Ready to Rumble beats them all. This is the funniest review I've ever heard. I had seen that movie before, but it wasn't as funny. When listening to you, I literally fell off the chair laughing because I didn't have strength to sit anymore. Keep up the great job, and please, if you have some shitty pay-per-views or movies that you think are too shitty to review, do it, because all shit you touch turns into gold.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So thanks very much from that, Artis.
Turn shit to gold. God.
Yeah, we turn shit to gold. That should be like, a blurb we have on our site. Reviews from fans. We turn shit into gold.
Yeah.
From Auden in Norway. Absolutely loved the show. I was directed to it by a Canadian e-buddy of mine, as I've actually done similar work about TV shows and news on Norwegian airwaves, believe it or not, though far from as successful or funny as you and the Asian gentleman next to you. I grew up doing the same as you by taping all the wrestling I could. Don't know if I could suggest anything that would be good material. I guess maybe doing a movie review of No Holds Barred or the TV pilot for Thunder in Paradise, which has a Hulk Hogan sex scene, if I recall correctly. At least extensive moaning. Keep up the great work. That's Audi from Norway. I do not want to see that at all.
Wow.
And I'll quickly end up because I did say that we want to give away for anyone that posts on our Facebook site during the week. You will be eligible for a DVD giveaway. So, Wei, I'm going to read you these quick Facebook posts, and you just tell me which one you think is the best, okay?
All right.
From Jay Cunningham, please don't do a Montreal Screwjob review. It's been done to death. I'm sure as Canadians you're more than sick of talking about it and hearing about it. But since the series is coming up, how about a review of the first Survivor Series in 1987? The older the better, I'd urge you to keep. Your reviews to the Hulkamania to New Generation era. Great job, guys. Keep it up. I thoroughly like listening to the review after the show. From Shay Avigan from Israel. The only fun I had watching Ready to Rumble was Running with the Devil by Van Halen during the farting nun scene. Quick trivia note, Chris Canyon was the stunt double of Oliver Platt and Hurricane Helms was the stunt double of David Arquette. Please review Survivor Series 1998, the most overbooked pay-per-view ever. 14 matches in 180 minutes and tons of non-clean finishes, all courtesy of Vince Russo. Another one is Survivor Series 94, including the classic Clowns Are Us versus the Royals. And from Francis Lefebvre, I actually liked Ready to Rumble and watched it multiple times. Am I still eligible to win the random contest? The answer is no. Gary, I remember when Ready to Rumble came out, and I remember it sucking. But more than that, I remember the triple cage match at Slamboree 2000. Canyon took the scariest bump I've ever seen in that match. I was already a Loyal Law listener back then, and I remember Jeff Merrick being out of his mind angry that they'd make Canyon take a bump like that. Anyway, guy, thanks for the laughs these past few weeks. Keep up the reviews. So we had Francis, who said he liked Ready to Rumble, so I think he should be disqualified. Gary, who mentions former Law host Jeff Merrick. We have Shay from Israel discussing Ready to Rumble with the Running with the Devil theme. And Jake Cunningham about the Montreal screw job.
Okay. I think we should give this to the most loyal Law fan, and that to me would be somebody who can remember a specific Jeff Merrick moment. So let's give it to that.
So Gary Weston is going to get a surprise DVD in the mail. I'm going to warn him in advance that I'm going to try and pick something really, really shitty because of the theme of our reviews.
Oh, of course.
So yeah. Gary, you will. I will contact you to get your mailing info, and we will be sending you out a DVD. So everyone listening, that's incentive to go post on our Facebook wall, the official Review Away Facebook group. Just go up there and be creative. Give us your feedback, positive or negative. We don't really care. And your thoughts on whatever we're reviewing for next week. And that leads us to what we are reviewing next week, Way, because you, we're going to be going back and forth, and it's your turn for next week.
Okay. Well, I know that we want to do a Survivor Series show, right, to coincide with the Survivor Series?
Sure.
Okay. Well, first of all, John, do you have all these?
I'm pretty sure I have most, if not all of them. And also, the WWE has recently sent us their anthology one. So most of them we've actually just got on DVD in the recent
past.
Well,
let's take the suggestion of one of those Facebook posts, and let's do the 1994 Survivor Series with the Clown versus the Royals match.
Okay, the Survivor Series 94, which I believe featured Chuck Norris somewhere in there as well. So that should be a fantastic review.
Yeah, I was going to suggest the China sex tape, but we'll save that for another time.
Let's save that, because we just put people through some China right now, and I don't think we have any anything to... I do recall, actually, in the video, there was some guy with a sign as China was leaving the ring saying, "I want to eat Chinese," but written C-H-Y. Gross.
That's pretty good, actually.
All right.
I like it.
So with that being said, I thought, Wei, because we do recall that China briefly had a musical career, so I thought we'd go out with something performed by Joni Lauer.
Oh, God.
So here we go. Some Joni Lauer, whatever I can find online. So thanks for watching. We will be back next week reviewing the 1994 Survivor Series. Now, deal with more pricks, money grubbing bitches and magic sticks inside of me. Spain has just begun. Sometimes I don't know how I get shit done. Hit up bitch, she is a match shit. Nice tits, ooh you're so fit. It's impossible to sit for one fucking minute. About a honey of them talking about me, and I wanna live my own life, please. And then I try to take my name, don't mean a damn thing. Seen more shit on my best worst day. Now I'm playing your game. What you trying to do? The shit that you tried, I've already been through. Remember, goes around, gonna come around too. And all the things you put me through, I'ma do to you. Magazine covers, China TV, modeling, singing, I'm the wrestling queen. Try to compete with me, you're gonna fall down. I better catch my respect, don't neglect, or you're gonna regret. You go, my little China girl. My little China girl. You go, my little China girl. My little China girl. Can't face me, grace me, you can't replace me. You motherfuckers haven't even had a taste of me. Sweet like ice cream, just as cold. Tough when it's rough, fight the young or the old. Kind of sweet, so I'm telling you now. Punks in front, jump up, get beat down. Getting crazy, fine wine, people see me looking fine. Damn, this girl's in her prime. I got the pedal to the metal so fast they can't see me. In my back row, three ahead of fuck 50. I hit first and I go to fourth gear. Better smirk from ear to ear. If I got class, style, power, and heart.
I'm doing rails on your private parts. You boys are making toys, now it's party time. You scum from the past, you done crossed the line. Can't take anymore, I've been put through hell. Drugs and thugs, abuse, and don't forget the jail cells. I'm fed up, can't take no more. The only asset is yours by the door.
You go, you go. My little China girl.
My little China girl.
You go, you go.
My little China girl.
My little China girl.
I ruin food like thunder. Hear that roar? Kaboom! Get ready, that's me at your door. Stop your shaking and shivering, you little bitch. Acting like a little ant-bitch. Now look at you coming in your boots like you're gonna shoot, bitch. Not afraid of you, but give me back my loot, bitch. Can't take my pride, my dignity, no matter how many times you choke me. Come on, motherfucker, fight back. I'll raise hell, cross my fist in your face with the sound of the bell. Who's that girl that stands so tall? It's the same bad bitch, you're gonna have it all. It's the same girl who rides above it all. Badass bitch, I'm a China doll. The whole fat girl that you got on me, it's the same girl gonna have a kiss on her feet.
You go, you go.
My little China girl.
My little China girl.
You go,